Welcome to Eagles Game Plan. Well, the playoffs have come early as the Eagles prepare for a win-or-go-home game against the Dallas Cowboys.
On today's show, we'll see just what the Eagles will need to do to clinch the NFC East.
And we'll look back at the Eagles' huge win last week over the Chicago Bears on Sunday Night Football.
And as he does each and every week, head coach Chip Kelly will join me right here to break down some film from last week's impressive win against the Chicago Bears. Eagles Game Plan starts right now. Welcome to Eagles Game Plan. I'm Brian Baldinger along with Mike Quick and Ike Reese. And guys, let's look back here at that impressive win against the Chicago Bears. I don't know if anybody saw 54-11 beatdown.
No.
However, there was a lot of good things to talk about, Mike. What impressed you the most?
Well, I think the defense, Baldy, set the tone. They set the tone of the game from the start. A three and out. The defensive line in particular, they really attacked that offensive line. They couldn't block them. Mm-hmm. And they got to the quarterback. You got all of these weapons, these big receivers on the outside. Mm-hmm. You got Matt Forte. But they're null and void if you get to the quarterback. And that, to me, really stuck out.
Excellent game plan by Billy Davis and the execution of it. Ike, for you.
Yeah, I'm going to the opposite side of the offensive line. I think the offensive line Sunday night did a fantastic job of reestablishing the running game. We got to see Jason Kelce. Mm-hmm. Todd Harriman's blocking 10, 15 yards down the field.
Yep.
Nick Foles had a clean day for the most part, 21 to 25. All that happens because the offensive line is giving him protection. And for those running backs that nearly rushed for 280 yards, it's because of those offensive linemen in front of them.
Like after a difficult week against the Vikings special teams-wise, and we were all pretty critical about some of the things they did, they bounced back this week.
They really did, Baldy and Mike. I mean, the last 2 weeks has been a little tough for the special teams units, but these guys really redeemed themselves in this game versus the Bears. Huge play in this game by Donnie Jones and his unit that caused a 9-point swing in favor of the Eagles. It's fourth and long, and the Eagles are punting from just across the 50-yard line. Donnie Jones, who has been successful all season long at placing the ball inside the 20, does a great job here. But I want you to focus on the gunners, namely Brandon Boykin. Boykin does a great job of not only beating his man, but getting over the top of him and tracking the ball in the air as he knocks it down inside the 5-yard line to teammate Rock Carmichael. This play was crucial because on the very next play, Cedric Thornton pulled down Matt Forte in the end zone for safety. And after getting the ball back on a free kick, the Eagles moved the ball on a short field on a drive that ended with a LeSean McCoy touchdown run. And it all started thanks to great execution on special teams, a 9-point swing on the scoreboard for the Eagles.
Foles lines up in a shotgun. Three receivers, Jackson in motion. Foles takes the snap, gives the ball to Shady McCoy, breaks the tackle, he's at the 40, he's at the 30, he's down the far sideline, he's at the 25, he's out of bounds at the 24, pushed out by Chris Conte after a 19-yard pickup.
As he does every week, head coach Chip Kelly joins us for a little film breakdown, and coach, I don't think we have to go any further than the first play of the game offensively here, where you came out in your three tight end set right here. You put Chicago in a bind here with a little ghost motion here to Deshaun Jackson, and you end up running your outside zone. But take us through a couple of the elements of the play here and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, we're just trying to figure out what the coverage is. So when Deshaun goes in motion, if someone trails him, you know it's man coverage. If they didn't trail him and stayed back there, then you know it's zone coverage. So the quarterback has a pretty good idea. And then we're just running a sweep play. And if we lose the defender because it is man coverage,
you're man short over
there. They're man short over there, and they only have one support player, so we end up just running sweep.
So Nick sees this right now. So he's reading that right now. With him running it, then the outside zone is on this way.
Yeah.
So that's the indicator right there.
Yep. I think part of it is really the job that our tight end has done all year long in terms of getting us to the edge. Mm-hmm. And I think Brent doesn't get enough credit for what a great blocker he is on the perimeter. And then when you use the athleticism of Todd on the support, and then even though that linebacker is plussed, we still feel with Jason's athletic ability that he can get a hat on a hat. And then the numbers match up for us in terms of being able to cut people off. But I think a lot of it speaks to the guys blocking at the point of attack and the athleticism of our offensive line.
When you say plus to your coach, just to clarify, I mean, he's got an advantage here on Kelce right here.
Yes.
So he's got to play catch up when he's pulling to go get him right there. Obviously, there's not many guys that can do this in the league, especially taking down a linebacker of Briggs' caliber right there.
Mm-hmm. Just an outstanding job. You look at Jason on the backside on the cutoff. He's, even though his linebacker's inside of him, a little bit of the action holds him. You've got guys now worried about the quarterback on the disconnect, all coming over the top. You got four guys on the defense frozen, and then we've got them pinned at the point of attack with a lead blocker and another lead blocker, and then Jason out in front of it.
We've seen this concept here, Coach, quite a bit. You're going to put Polk over on this side. You're going to run your wheel here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have your crossers coming over.
Mm-hmm.
Except this time, Coach, you don't cross.
Mm-hmm.
You pivot. So we have seen that before, too. But really, I mean, this play, people want to know, how does Brent Celek get that wide open? What makes you run the pivot here versus coming all the way across?
Well, I think, you know, you're just self-scout yourself. And we've run a ton of shallow crossers, double shallow crossers, where guys are running and crossing, and defenders understand that. So when you watch when Brent starts to get moving, the defender that's covering him man-to-man thinks he's running a shallow and actually tries to get out in front of him and cut the route off. So when he puts his foot in the ground and returns back out, he leaves the defender back inside of him. So self-scout and understanding what we do, we've got a package that takes advantage of a lot of different things. If we're continuing to run this and the defender's always behind, then we'll continue to run this. If the defenders start to get on top of us, then we have the ability to put our foot in the ground and come back out. For the quarterback at the end of the play, he has a player here and a player here. Whether they cross to get there or they just return to get there. It's the same exact play for everybody. We're just telling the receivers to not cross and to start to come in, as you said, to pivot and now work back out.
What are you telling Zach here as he trails
Zach
his play?
Zach needs to, we're just trying to form a triangle.
Okay.
So if Celek was coming here and the outside receivers come in here, Zach is now going to set up right in the middle
you.
Of it. So the quarterback's just going to be able to go one, two, three. When we have the pivot concept, he's still one, Zach's still two over the ball. He's still three over the ball, and the quarterback's just working his progression. One, two, three.
And obviously, Coach, you don't know if you're going to get man or zone here on this play.
It's a man or a zone play.
Man, it doesn't make a difference on this particular play.
Nope.
Let's go here to the defense, because Billy really had a very good game plan, and it involved a lot of blitzing and a lot of mugging the A gaps right here. But take us through kind of some of the concepts right here of Kendricks and D'Amico Ryans in the A gaps and what you're trying to do.
Well, Billy's got a lot of variations of how this the whole package works, but the illusion is with both these linebackers up, you have to dedicate someone to block them. So depending on what the blocking scheme is, it may free somebody else up. The other thing is that these guys are athletic enough to draw blocks and then to drop out into coverage. There's times where they both drop, there's times with one drops, and there's times when they both come. Because they both come and they're in the A gaps and their proximity to the quarterback is they're the biggest threats, you have to account for them. So they decided from their blocking scheme standpoint is let's turn the five linemen to these guys and then put the running back on the defensive end. And we get into this sometimes ourselves. This looks good on the board because you can draw a line and then you can say he's going to block him. But the reality is you have to have a back that's big enough and strong enough and athletic enough to block Trent. And then what all we've done is we're rushing four guys, but we created a mismatch. So their five linemen are blocking our 3D linemen. And now we're leaving their running back on Trent. And that's a mismatch for us. And I think Billy did a great job of exposing them in that. And then you've got two of our inside guys, Fletch and Sed, getting doubled by their offensive linemen. But the mismatch really occurs with a 218-pound running back trying to block Trent.
It takes a lot of preparation, studying. I mean, you just don't walk into that particular scheme and execute it just like that.
No, it takes all 11 guys. And, you know, that's part of the process of us improving over time. The more experience we have playing with each other, understanding how to hold disguises, how to show and not come, how to show and come, you know, it takes time. It takes a process. And I think Billy and the defensive guys have done a really good job of not giving them too much too soon, understanding how much we can grow on a weekly basis, and our guys have done a great job with it.
So you were shorthanded special teams on Sunday. Colt Anderson was down. Kurt Coleman was down. So Bradley Fletcher was in the game. Kerry Williams. Now, sometimes these guys play kickoff coverage, but you got your two starting corners out here on covering this kick, and you're up 7-0 at this point, and you're directionally kicking this ball. So there's a lot of different things that are going. You're putting Devin Hester in a corner right here trying to trap him, and you've got your two starting cornerbacks out here covering this kick, and so you can kind of take it from there because this is a huge play in this ball game right now.
Yeah, I think our guys do a great job of attacking the blocking scheme, and then when we bring our three safeties, which is Fletch, Kerry, and Alex, we always talk about triangle in the football, and if you watch those guys squeeze to the ball, we've formed a triangle where Devin can't get outside because Fletch is here. Kerry's fitting on the inside, and then Alex is topping it over the top. So we're forcing the ball carrier to come inside the triangle. Everybody's occupied the blockers to a point where now, as Hester breaks through here, you know, we've got him triangled the way we want to get him triangled. And then Bradley Fletcher just does a great job. He's a great veteran, comes off, makes the tackle, and we're always about the ball, and we're always trying to strip it. And then Kerry does a great job there. We talk about when balls are on the ground. there's either city balls or country balls. And country balls is when you're out in the middle of the field where that's a scoop and score and you get an opportunity. But if there's a lot of traffic around, it's a city ball. And if it's a city ball, what you see a lot of times with guys that aren't disciplined, they try to pick this ball up.
Right.
Where Kerry does a great job because it's a city ball is just recovered. If we can recover the ball right there after the kickoff, because that's all we're going to get out of it. And that's just a Wiley veteran being a really smart football player. A lot of guys in that situation, if they're selfish, hey, I'm going to try to pick it up and score, and they may kick it out of bounds.
Or they try to do too much and their feet are out of bounds.
Exactly.
Here.
And right now we're in a city situation. We talk about it all the time. Kerry's just one of those veterans that understands the little intricacies to the game. And as much as this doesn't seem like a lot to people, that's a huge deal for us. And then we convert, we get on the ball there, and then we turn that turnover into points.
Well, and then the reaction here, Coach, I just think right here, when that happens, what that does to the entire team. I mean, everybody is up on their feet right here. They recognize right in front of you what has just taken place.
Yeah, it was an interesting scene. You watch, one of the things is how athletic Big Cliff is.
Big Cliff is
because
here?
Rock comes flying out of
nowhere. No.
But watch Cliff. Cliff doesn't go down.
No, he stays on his feet over here.
That's a big athlete right there.
That's your biggest player on your
Cliff's
team right there.
He saves himself.
Yeah.
And then here comes our special teams coach.
Yeah.
And he's a little fired up on the play.
I would say so. Where are you at here, Chip? Where are you at in this
I'm getting ready to call
play. Call and play.
Yeah.
All right. You're ready to go attack him.
Yeah.
Coming up in the show, we'll see how the Eagles can attack Dallas on the defensive side of the ball. But first, we look back at the Week 7 matchup against the Cowboys. What can the Eagles learn from that game? All that and more when Eagles Game Plan returns. Eagles Game Plan is brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Sports Authority, for all things sporting good. And by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. This Sunday, the Eagles and the Cowboys meet for the NFC East division title. It is always instructive in division games to go back and look at the first time teams met. You always learn something. And even though the Eagles lost that game 17-3, their defense played very, very well. Now, the Eagles are a high-percentage blitz team by NFL standards. And when you look back at that game against the Cowboys, Week 7, a couple of things really stood out to me. There's different kinds of blitzes. And a lot of teams blitz in conjunction with stunts, which the Eagles do as well. Now, when I say there's different kinds of blitzes, very often when teams play man-to-man coverage, linebackers are responsible for a back. Like D'Amico Ryans being responsible for a back against the Cowboys. If that back stays into block, those linebackers will then attack and rush. That's called a green dog. And very often that causes confusion for offensive linemen. And we see that on a sack of Tony Romo in the first meeting, where you see a stunt element where Trent Cole loops behind Vinnie Curry. That's the stunt. Now, here D'Amico Ryans has Philip Tanner man-to-man. Philip Tanner stays in to help pass protect. So what happens? D'Amico Ryans starts to hug up as if he's pass rushing. Left tackle Tyron Smith sees Ryan. He comes off his man and tries to pick up D'Amico. Then you have all kinds of mayhem inside. Leary, the left guard, first picks up Curry on the stunt. Then Cole, looping around, comes inside and Leary sees Cole closer to the quarterback. What happens? He comes off his man, picks up Cole. There's no one now to block Curry. He sacks Tony Romo. A really beautifully designed stunt with a green dog blitz element. We saw the exact same thing later in the game. It was the exact same thing. You see the stunt, Cole looping around Curry. You see D'Amico Ryans. He has Philip Tanner again in man coverage. What happens here? Tanner leaves the backfield and goes out into a pass route. So D'Amico goes with him. Here, Tony Romo sees Cole Beasley open for a throw. Makes the throw. It would have been a completion. But what happens? D'Amico Ryans covering Philip Tanner is right in the passing lane and intercepts the pass. So two plays with the same concept. You have a stunt with Trent Cole and Vinnie Curry, and you have D'Amico Ryans in man coverage. The first play, hugging up and causing a sack. The second time, he plays Philip Tanner, and he gets an interception. You can bet on one thing in this game this weekend. The Eagles will stunt and the Eagles will blitz. That's their MO, and you can bet it will be very effective.
This portion of the Eagles game plan was brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Dallas Cowboys defense. What weaknesses could the Eagles exploit? We'll find out when Eagles game plan returns. Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. And Mike, your former head coach at North Carolina State, Monty Kiffin.
Yeah.
All right, great. Monty Kiffin is the defense coordinator here in Dallas now. And his job right now is to take some of these young players like Morris Claiborne, who's been hurt.
Right.
But I think he may play this weekend, Mike. He's a young player with talent. But tell me a little bit about what you see technique-wise.
Well, here's the thing. Monty grew his name in the NFL as a Tampa 2-deep type of coverage coach. But now he's gone to more of a single high safety and those cornerbacks playing a lot of man coverage. But one of the problems I see in Dallas is this very poor technique that you see by Morris Claiborne on the top, turning his hips. And, you know, you got smart receivers in this league, and when they see those hips turn, they know they can take advantage of you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of teams have taken advantage of Claiborne and Brandon Carr and some of these guys. But they've had a lot of injuries, Mike. So a young player, Jeff Heath, a safety, has been in here. I mean, he's on coverage right here with the tight end. A lot of teams have exposed some of these players in that man coverage that you're talking about.
Well, and you know, one of the things with Chip Kelly, he loves matchups. Yep. And I think this is a matchup that he's going to love. His tight end, both Selleck and the young tight end,
Zach Ertz,
will have an opportunity against these safeties. They're big guys. They make tackles, but they're not good cover safeties.
I agree with you, Mike. I agree. I think there's a lot of matchups that the Eagles can win on Sunday night. This portion of the Eagles game plan was brought to you by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles. Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. Guys, this is our final segment. We call it Three and Out. It's our final thoughts as we get ready for Week 17 against the Cowboys. Mike, I'll start with you. Keys to an Eagle victory this Sunday.
Well, it's playoff time, and everything gets heightened at this time of the year. But the Eagles have to stick to what they do. They're a sound, fundamental team. They have to stick to the script.
Okay.
And just the way that they go about each and every week, that's what they have to do this week. But make sure that in this heightened state, that they don't peak too early.
Okay.
Game time is 8:30 Sunday night. That's when they need to peak.
The key to me, Baldy, Mike, is keeping your confidence level high. This team is rolling. They're the best team in the NFC East.
Yep.
They need to understand that. They can go into Dallas. In Dallas, yes, it'll be a hostile environment. Sure, the Cowboys have something to play for. But these players, and I'm speaking of the Eagles in particular, they know they're the better team. Go out there Sunday night, play like you're the better team, and bring home an NFC East division crown.
Like for me, I think it's Nick Foles in this game. Because, I mean, Nick Foles had the one game against the Cowboys that just hanging out there. Was that just an aberration? Or is he truly developed and improved and is a frontline starting quarterback in this league? Everybody will go back to the 80 yards that he threw for, no touchdowns in that Week 7 loss to the Cowboys. I think Nick Foles has an incredible chance to redeem himself and put the Eagles into the playoffs. All right, guys, that'll do it for another edition of Eagles Game Plan. For Mike Quick and Ike Reese, I'm Brian Baldinger. We'll be back here next week with an Eagles win to break down Wild Card Weekend with another edition of Eagles Game Plan. Eagles Game Plan is brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Sports Authority, for all things sporting goods. And by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.